us pray. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for being in the building.
Yes, yes.
Today, Father. More importantly, we thank you for being in this building.
Yes.
This temple.
This
body.
Yes.
We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Father, just anoint me and bless me as I attempt to preach this word to these, your people. In your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yes.
The Lord is in the building. Amen. We're coming from Psalm 94 again. We're continuing on our series about praying for vengeance. This is a plea from someone who has been under great adversity, where a lot of things have been going wrong, where people around them have been doing wrong. This is a plea, Lord, where are you? Lord, fix this for me. The first message, which came from the first section of this psalm, was, how long, O Lord? How long will you let this go on? How long will you let mess happen? How long will you overlook what the wicked are doing? Then we moved on last week, warning the wicked about their danger. Topic was, somebody's watching you. We recognize that even though the wicked have gotten away with what they are doing for so long that they don't even think God is looking at them anymore. They think that they are invisible in the deeds that they do. But you know what? Unfortunately, when trying times are going on among the people of faith are caught up in it. We are the ones feeling the pressure. We are the ones who are feeling the pressure. We are the ones who are being picked on. We are the ones who are being challenged. We are the ones who are being challenged to compromise the worldly standards. We are the ones who are being told that we have to adopt to a different standard that might not be of God. We are the ones that are in the minority. So therefore, we are the ones that are saying, how long, O Lord? Oh, Lord, how long will this continue to go on? But then we can be like the psalmist to say that even though the wicked think that they're getting away with it, we know you're still watching them. Even though they think that you are not watching them, we know that you are still watching them. And then starting at verse 12, we'll speak for a few minutes today about the topic of turning your test into a testimony. Turning your test into a testimony. Yes, we feel like we are going through. We feel like that we are facing challenges, whether they are economic challenges, whether they are physical challenges, whether they are relational challenges. We find challenges on every side. Oh Lord, how long? But I have lived long enough that I can finally say this, that the tests we go through are there to prepare us, to make us stronger. They give us a greater testimony. We can let everybody know that we have been through this, and I am a better person because of it. God has watched over me. God has blessed me. God has anointed me. Yes, I thought it was bad then, but now I see why I had to go through to get to where God wanted me to be. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord. Now, we just have come over in verse 8 where the psalmist is saying, understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. So see, the ungodly do not listen to sound instruction. But verse 12 turns it around, looks at us, and says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord. If you're reading from the King James translation, it might say, blessed is the man whom you chastise, who you chastise, O Lord. Chastise or instruct means teaching and instruction from God's law. Blessed is the one who is taught by God, for we are taught through and from the law of God. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. You know, we have to be chastised every now and then. We need to be instructed out of God's law. We need to be corrected out of God's law. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, you should know in your heart that as a man chastises his son, so the Lord your God chastises you. As parents, we have to instruct our children. Our children are good children, but we need to set the boundaries around them. We need to help them understand that you can't do things your way all the time. We have to help them understand that there are rules that have to be followed. We have to have them understand that even though everybody else is doing all kind of other stuff, you are not everybody's child. You are my child. So therefore, you are going to do it my way. How many of us have heard the phrase or have even uttered the phrase, my house, my rules. My house, my rules. It's just like the kid who owns the basketball. When y'all get together for pickup games, if you're using my ball, then I don't do any fouls because I will take my ball and go home and you will not play anymore. My ball, my rules. My house, my rules. My house, my rules. They might do it another way in somebody else's house, but I cannot control that. It might look bad on the other side, or it might look more attractive on the other side, because so-and-so's parents lets them do everything. They don't have a curfew. They can come home anytime they want to, even if they don't want to come home. All they can do is call home and say, I'm going to spend the night at so-and-so's house. They can do whatever they want to do. They can hold parties in their house, have all kind of people over the house. Why can't we be like that? No, because we're in my house and we follow a different standard in my house. We have been instructed in my house that there is a right and a wrong, and we're trying our very best to do things the right way. You know, when you're growing up, you feel like you're the only child who goes through those situations. You feel like everybody else gets to do whatever they want to do. But you are the ones that has controls. You are the ones that have constraints. You're the one who has boundaries. You are the one who has to have to call home by 11 o'clock at night. You are the one who has to come inside when the street lights come on. You need to be running inside. How many of y'all have those rules in your house? You can be outside, but when it gets dark, it's time for you to come home. How many times have you forgotten about that room and you see the street light come on and you know I better run home right now because they're waiting for me. They're looking for me. No, they're loving you. They are setting boundaries upon you to raise you the right way because they know that nothing good goes on after dark. Joshua had a situation. Joshua, who took over for Moses. Joshua, who led the children of Israel, God's people, into the promised land. Even though they were in the promised land, they didn't always act like they had a promise upon them. They started doing wrong. And in Joshua chapter 15, he said to them, he gave the ultimatum. He said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day who you will serve. whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites as whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the children of Israel were living among a pagan people. They were living among the Canaanites. They were living among the Amorites. They were living among people who worshiped other gods. And see, sometimes you get too close to them. You start thinking like them. You start dressing like them. You start looking like them. You start questioning your faith because of who surroundings you are around. This is the same situation that the psalmist is writing about. I'm in a situation where I'm around people who aren't acting right. I'm around people who act ugly. I'm around people who have forgotten that they are a child of God. So therefore, Lord, when will you take vengeance? But in this section in verse 12, he turns it unto himself. He turns it on the godly. He turns upon us that says, blessed is the man whom you instruct. Blessed is the one that you chastise. It might not have felt good growing up, but I dare say that we are better people because of it. We are better people because we were not allowed to do what we wanted to do. We were better people because even though it's our own thing, we can't do what we want to do. We're better people because we had boundaries, that we had parents who loved us enough to make sure God's word was instilled in us. Even though we didn't want it, how many of us went to Sunday school? How many of us were drugged to Sunday school? How many of us only went because we had to? Thinking about our friends who were still sleeping in on Sunday morning. But no, we had to get up and go to church. My father made it very plain. You in my house, it's my rules. And this is what we do. There's no option about it. Now, we get grown enough to move out of your house. That's okay. But make sure you're grown enough. Make sure you're grown enough. So blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord. Blessed is the person that you chastise, O Lord, because you are raising us. You are fixing us. You are still bringing us. We are a work in progress. We are a work in progress. So Lord, thank you for continuing to chastise, instruct us. For we know that these instructions will keep us aligned to your will. We know that these instructions are for our benefit. We know that these lessons we're learning will come back to us one day. What's the scripture? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. We might act crazy for a little while. We might be convinced that we're crazy. But if that seed is planted in you, it will grow in you. And we will grow to a point where we will look around and we will realize the foolishness that we are participating in. We will realize the foolishness that we are hanging around. That we will realize that there is more to life than this. I'm not talking about something I read about in a book. I'm not talking about something I saw on TV. I'm talking about something I know from experience. No matter how far you try and stray, you will come back. Just ask Jonah, you will come back. So blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. teaching out of your law, teaching your ways, teaching your will. Verse 13, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. Even in the midst of what we are going through, we have to remember the Lord will give us rest. And that's the good news. That's the thing that we know, that the world does not understand. That we will find rest in the Lord. That you might give him rest from the days of adversity. It doesn't say that he will give some rest who go through some adversity.
Yes.
But he will give you rest from the days of adversity. Each and every one of us is going to go through adversity in our lifetime. We're going to go through challenging times. And there will be times that we feel like we're the only ones going through that. You know, isn't it interesting? Once you recognize what your adversity is, you start running into people who have gone through the same adversity, who have been where you are, who are there to pray for you, to encourage you, to be with you as you go through. But through it all, we have to remember that God is in control and he will take care of us. You know, God can use oppression. God can use adversity to teach us, and make us better. He can use adversity to make our test into a testimony so that when we come to the other side, we can say, I have been through hell and back. And I'm so glad to be on the other side. I have been through the valley of the shadow of death. I have been in situations that I don't even want to speak about, much less think about. I have been to places that I want to erase from my memory banks. But the Lord still watched over me in the midst of my mess, in the midst of my adversity, in the midst of my trying times. I am so thankful that I am a survivor and God has will take care of me. You may give him rest from the days of adversity. And notice it doesn't say day of adversity. It says days of adversity. You know, in the corporate world, we would have major problems. And once you solved all the major problems, somebody wanted to elevate a minor problem into a major problem. So you always had something going on. That's the way of the world. But how do you handle the pressure? How do you handle the adversity? How do you handle the major messes in life? The more we are connected to the Lord, the easier it is to handle. Why do you think he's instructing us in the first place? So that when we go through these tests, we can be like David. David said, wait a minute, Lord, I know I'm going through a lot, but I have hid your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Yes, I am going through tough times. Yes, I am living on the run. Yes, I am seeing my friends die because they won't give up my location. Yes, I know that I am anointed, but why am I hiding in caves? Because I'm trying to hide from King Saul. But I'm so glad that I hid your word in my heart. I'm so glad that you've let me know that you will not leave me or forsake me. I'm so glad to know that I'm in your hand and in your hand no man can pluck out. I'm so glad that in the midst of my test, I can still have a testimony. And here's the thing about it is, you don't need to wait until you get out to the other side to have the testimony. There is something about being under pressure that strengthens us, that builds us. The pressure, the adversity that we undergo helps us in the long run.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And I heard somebody use the illustration one day about a string instrument. And he was talking about the guitar and how beautiful it sounds if it's in tune. But in order to put it in tune, you have to put some tension on the strings. And the greater the tension you put, the more likelihood it's going to be in tune. And what he was saying is that without tension, without adversity, you will not be able to make that joyful noise unto the Lord. Without that tension, you will not have a testimony. If you've never been tested, you cannot make beautiful music. So through our test, through our adversity, even though it doesn't feel right when we're going through it, it doesn't look right, we feel isolated from everybody else, but God just might be building us up for his purpose.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I've heard people say, thank you for the test. See, that's something I can do on the other side of the test. When I'm going through it, I don't want to be thanking for the test, but I'm saying, Lord, why am I going through this test? What do you want to teach me, Lord? What am I supposed to take away from this? How can I use this test to help the people you put me in responsible for? That you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yes.
The wicked will be punished. We might never see it, but they will be punished. There is a pit dug with their name on it. There is a real heaven, and there is a real hell. And the ungodly know where they're going. I have known people who are so bold to say, I know I'm going to hell, and I'm okay with that. I'm going to live it up right now where I am. I know I'm too bad for God, but I got a secret for you. There is nobody who is too bad for God. All you have to do is reach out to him, for he is constantly reaching out to you. And your destination as ungodliness is hell. The pit is dug for the wicked. One day Jesus will return. One day Jesus will take care of everything. We might wonder how long, oh Lord, but if we put it in the hands of the Lord, he will definitely take care of it. That you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. Verse 14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. And that's the good news for us. That's our testimony, that even though I've been through so much, even though I haven't been good all my life, even though I've had challenging times, I know you still love me, Lord. I know you will not forsake me, Lord. Sometimes you have to go through that test before you can realize how good God is. Moses knew that his time was coming to a conclusion soon. He knew that he could not go over into the promised land. He knew that there would be years of adversity in the wilderness wandering before the children of Israel were allowed to go over into the promised land. But he told them, he gave them, Moses talked to the people, spoke to the people out of the heart of God. And he told them that there will come a time, once you get over to the promised land, there will come a time when your grandchildren, when your great-grandchildren, when your descendants will forget how they were raised, when they will fall away from God, when they will acclimate themselves to their surroundings. And in those days, you will be punished. God's people will be punished. Yes, you can be God's people, but you can still be punished.
Yeah.
And that's what Psalm 14 says, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. We are his inheritance. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were in his inheritance. And they thought they were all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, yeah.
But he told them, there will come a time when you will quit worshiping the Lord. Your people will, your grandchildren will, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren will fall off from the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And they will be punished. And this actually came about when the northern tribes were taken captivity by the Assyrians. When the southern tribes were taken into captivity, Babylon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, they were restored. A remnant was restored. But because of their unfaithfulness, they were scattered abroad. But this is what Moses said, looking in the future. He said, but from there you will seek the Lord your God. It is when you are tested, you will seek the Lord your God. It is when you will be under adversity, you will seek the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 4:29, but from there, in the midst of the mess that you created, then you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Isn't that great that no matter how bad we've been, we need to pray for the wicked because the wicked can eventually see the light if they seek the Lord with their heart and with their soul. And he goes on in verse 30 in Deuteronomy 4. He says, when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you are having all this tension applied to you, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God.
Yes.
He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. What he's saying is, no matter how bad it gets, remain hopeful, remain prayerful, because God is not through with you yet. You will go through adversity, but the God will deliver you. And once he does that, you will have a testimony because you truly have been tested. And he repeats the same phrase later on in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, right before he gives encouragement to Joshua, who he is handing leadership to. He tells the people of God to be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the people on the other side that don't look like you. Don't be afraid of those people who worship other gods. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. That's something for us to know. Even in the midst of our mess, in the midst of our turmoil, God is with us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. And I want to share with you for a few minutes a few individuals in the Bible who have been in the middle of a mess, but have come out with a greater testimony. I'm going to start with Moses. We know Moses. All you got to do is turn the TV on Resurrection Sunday night, and you will see a synopsis of the story of Moses. Moses, a Hebrew child who was taken into Pharaoh's household. He was part of the Egyptian leadership. Moses had a good job lined up for him, had a good career lined up for him, had a great future lined up for him. But he saw injustice going on in the land. And he saw a fellow Israelite being punished by an Egyptian. So he killed the Egyptian. He had to run away from home. He had to leave home for many years because of what he did. But even out of the midst of what he was going through, God still reached out to him. God let him know that you are going to be the one to lead my people out of captivity. Moses gave every excuse in the book. Lord, that's not me, Lord. I'm not that. In case you forgot, Lord, I did something wrong. The Lord said, I know you've done something wrong, but I have redeemed you. You have been through the test. Lord, I can't speak too well. I'm not that articulate. God said, I got somebody for you. I'm going to let your brother Moses speak for you. And we know Aaron, thank you, Aaron speak for you. And we know the rest of the story.
Yes.
Moses came back and confronted Pharaoh. Moses, the one who was hurt and angry, who had to leave town when he was scared for what he had done, now came back with more power and more strength. He came back with the Lord on his side. He faced adversity, and he had a greater testimony at the end of his life than he had at the middle of his life. Someone else is Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph? Joseph was a popular son. He was daddy's favorite son. He was daddy's favorite son out of all the boys. And he let all his brothers know that he was a number one. He was not shy about letting them know that I'm daddy's favorite. Father even constructed a special coat for him to wear at his favorite son. What happened? The sons got jealous. Son said, they ran an errand. Son said, what if we come back without Joseph? We can tell daddy that he got killed doing the errand. So see, they put him in a pit and they sold him into slavery. He went through a lot of adversity. He was a servant in the house of an Egyptian official. He had to work for a living. But even though he had been forsaken by his family, he knew that the Lord had not forsaken him. And he had an attitude of gratitude because in the midst of what he was going through, he was still being elevated until he was at Pharaoh's right hand. Fast forward years later, a drought comes in the land. And there's no food in the region. Fortunately, Joseph had foresight to store food for the time like this. People from other nations had to come to Egypt to beg for food. And just so happens, one family that came begging was his brothers. Even though he had been through a lot, even though he had the opportunity to seek vengeance, he showed love. See, that's what happens when you turn a test into a testimony. You can show love to those who were against you because they no longer recognize you because you're a stronger person now. They no longer recognize you because you've grown up. They no longer recognize you. So instead of doing to them what they did to you, you can show love and know that God is going to take care of it. Job went through adversity. Sometimes we go through adversity. We don't even know why we're going through adversity. Job was an upright man. He was God's man. But all these things started happening to him. He lost his livelihood. He lost his family. He lost so much. He lost his crops. And then he started losing his health. His friends came to hang out with him. We need to watch out who we hang around with when we're going through. Amen? Because they came talking noise. What have you done to bring this wrath upon you? You see, they didn't understand how God works. Even his wife, I'm tired of looking at you like this. You're suffering too much. You've lost so much. You serve God, but look at what's happened to you. Why don't you just curse God and die? But through it all, he was faithful. Through it all, in the midst of the test he was going through, he was faithful. And later on in the book, he even said that, I know that one day I will die, but on that day I know where I'm going, and I'm going to see my name written on the book of life. You see, Job did not know that God and Satan had a little arrangement going on. But in the end, due to his faithfulness, due to his steadfastness during his test, due to his faithfulness, he had a testimony. His testimony is in the form of the children he had later in life. His testimony is in the fact that his health was restored. His testimony is in the fact that everything he has lost financially was restored to him and much more. Don't stay in the valley. Yea, I go through. I know some people will pitch their tent in the valley. They will find a plot of land in the valley. Say, this is where I'm going to build my home. The valley is an experience for us to go through, not stay into. It is time for us to quit having pity parties about our condition and keep on moving. For he is with us. His rod, his staff, they comfort us. They guide us. Even in the midst of our trying times, God is with us. Peter. Yeah, I remember Peter. One thing we always learn in Sunday school, Peter was that guy who denied Jesus. Been with Jesus all this time. But when Jesus was taken away, he became scared. That's because he had no spirit. We can be around holiness all our lives. But unless we accept the Spirit of God, unless we accept God, we will have no power. We will have no spirit. Peter was the one who was scared. Peter was the one who was boastful. Lord, I'm not going to deny you. Peter was the one when they came to take Jesus away. Pulled out his sword like he's going to do something. All they did was cut off somebody's ear and made him aggravated. Jesus said, put it back up. This is not your fight, Peter. Where was that boldness when Jesus was on the cross? Where was that boldness when Jesus was being tortured? Where was that boldness when they put him in the borrowed grave? Where was that boldness? Peter had no boldness. But if you look at Acts chapter 1, you will see that the Holy Spirit came. Suddenly, Peter had boldness. The same one who had denied Jesus earlier. The same one who once said to Jesus, what's in it for me? Was now preaching Christ crucified. In Acts chapter 1 and 2. And it tells us that over 3,000 people were saved. Peter, the same one who cared about material things before, did not care about material things anymore. You see, he had a testimony. When the beggar was there on the street, wanted healing. Peter was the one, silver and gold I don't have. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Peter was the one, when they took him up and put him in jail and said, we will let you out. They had a little conference. Look at here, we'll let you out if you just quit preaching about this Jesus Christ. Peter said, you're going to have to keep on putting me in jail because I am not going to quit preaching about Jesus Christ. Peter had to go through his test to have his testimony. All these individuals had tests in their life. The question is, what is the test in your life? And it's not just a day of tests. But it can be days of testing. Another preacher said, either you're in a storm, going into a storm, or coming out of a storm. And that's something else I've lived long enough to realize, that just as soon as you leave one storm, don't take it too easy. Because there's some more dark clouds on the horizon. So if you're driving in that direction, Don't be surprised when raindrops start falling on your windows.
Yes.
Don't be surprised when you can't see anymore. You saw it coming.
That's right.
Some people choose to pull off and wait it out while others press on through. You will go through trials and tribulations. We will go through trials and tribulations. But rest assured, we are not alone. Rest assured that our trials can become our testimony. And see, that's so important for us to share that testimony, because there are others who are going through the same situations that you are. There are others who are still having problems in their families. There are others who are having problems on their job. There are others who are having problems in their finances. There are others who are having challenges in their health. There are others who are having problems even in their churches. But through it all, God is with us and He will never forsake us. So whatever we are going through, rest assured that we will come out, because He will cover those and He will give rest. And He will take care of everything else. That's something else we used to tell our children. You just worry about you. Sometimes we get all caught up in everybody. No. You just worry about you. So in times like this, make sure we're straight first. Because how can we help somebody if we're not whole ourselves? When you fly an airplane, they give you the instructions. If you're with a child, if the air mask come down, put it on you first. Then put it on your child. That seems counterintuitive, because you feel like you want to take care of them first. But you can't take care of them first if you passed out. So you got to take care of yourself first. Deal and spend time with the Lord in the midst of your trials. Spend time with the Lord. That was David's secret. Even in the midst of what he was going through, he spent time with the Lord. Even in the midst of being chastised for the illicit affair with Bathsheba, he stayed true and connected with the Lord. Your test will come. Your trials will come. It's up to us in our mindset to ask ourselves, Lord, why me? Or Lord, what do you want me to do with this? It is so pleasing when we get to the point where we can say, Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but show me what I can do with this. Show me how I can be a blessing to someone else. Show me how I can continue on. Show me, in the midst of my brokenness, how I can still reach out. Show me, Lord. But more importantly, be with me, Lord, as I go through. Because we do go through. But rest assured that the Lord is on our side. And He will not forsake us. God bless you.